okay. We are smack bang on 6:30 p.m. And a very, very good evening to everyone on the call. We've got a load of people on the webcast, so welcome to all of you, and lots of people who have dialed in to the phone line as well. So a very warm welcome to everyone on tonight's Ask Samantha Jane teleseminar. My name's Faye Holland, and I'm the Director of Outshine Consulting and Success Rules, and I provide coaching and success training to busy professionals and entrepreneurs. And I really want to acknowledge each and every one of you for taking the initiative to dial in tonight and invest time in your own personal development. So thank you very much on behalf of Samantha Jane and myself for doing that. So it's my pleasure to be your host for this evening's teleseminar with the fabulous Samantha Jane from Blue Label Life, who I had the pleasure of meeting about a year ago now, and I've also had the opportunity to work with quite a number of her brilliant clients. So I'm really excited to be hosting this teleseminar with you this evening. So tonight's call is on the hotly anticipated topic of how to create a great first date, even if you're feeling nervous, anxious, or perhaps just a tiny weeny bit judgmental. And I do encourage you to listen through to the very end of tonight's teleseminar, because Samantha has a valuable bonus gift for eligible listeners, which I'll announce at the end of tonight's call after she's answered your questions. Now, we've got a lot of questions, we've got a lot of people on tonight's live call, and I know some of you are current clients of Samantha's and some aren't. So I just want to tell you a little bit about Samantha before I bring her onto the call. Now, Samantha's a former fitness and lifestyle consultant who set Blue Label Life up back in 2005 when she recognised that many of her clients at the time, who were very successful professional individuals, were frustrated trying to find their perfect partner, but there didn't seem to be a service out there that would help them find their ideal match. So Sam went on to qualify as a master trainer with the Matchmaking Institute in New York, and subsequently set Blue Label Life up. And this is the bit that I really like, because I love my stats and numbers. Blue Label Life and Samantha Jane have achieved an industry-high 92% success rate in matchmaking, which I'm sure everyone listening to the live call and the replay will agree is very impressive. Sam was actually telling me earlier today that at this time of year, on average, there are two weddings or engagements every weekend thanks to Blue Label Life, not to mention hundreds of dates going on in Sydney, Canberra and Melbourne. So without further ado, I would love to welcome Samantha Jane onto the call. Hi, Sam. Are you there?
Hi, Faye.
Hello. Great. How are you doing?
I'm really well. I'm so excited about tonight. We've had some, you know, I always get questions about dating and secrets and how to progress to that next level, and it really does make that big difference. The first day is so vital to the success of your relationship and whether it progresses.
Absolutely. Now, Sam, before we go through a few quick points before we get started, can you just tell us why you think this is such a hotly anticipated topic? Because we've had a really big response to tonight's call, so I'm just keen to get your thoughts up front.
Absolutely. Well, singles today are very ambivalent. They're very ambivalent to what they want. Without the right knowledge and tools, the dating can actually be a very nerve-wracking and awkward experience. So it's important not to blame society or the opposite sex and fate for your involuntary single status. So basically, I'm here to share and assist you and empower you with some knowledge and the keys to success. So
brilliant.
I truly believe the relationships, it's really what makes the world go around, and it's one of my deepest passions is helping free people from whatever it is that's keeping them from finding love, especially a very deep nurturing bond between someone special. And we may not realize that there are so many different strategies and ways and so much different advice out there on how to find the one, and so many books to read, but it, you know, through my experience, I've actually learned a very valuable lesson, and it's really good fortune comes really in the form you expect it. So one of my favorite quotes is never say never. So what I can say is, don't limit yourself to people who you think are not your type, screen out too much in the beginning, and you'll diminish your opportunities. And I'm here to share with you tonight, taking a current look at today's society. There's so much focus on career and, you know, but there's absolutely no education on how to make a relationship flourish. So we have so much success in career, but in a personal relationship, it requires very different skills, and it's actually exactly the opposite of each other. So it's no wonder that we have hiccups when it comes to dating. No one teaches us how to behave and succeed in relationships.
So true. That's something maybe we should be teaching at school or maybe college and uni.
You know, it wouldn't hurt at all because to succeed, you know, think about it, to succeed in your career, you're required to be very competitive, businesslike, wary of others and focused on the bottom line. And we find that a lot of people tend to, you know, it can be quite confusing, and you can take that into your date and give that person that third degree and treat it like a job interview when it's actually nothing to do with the job interview. It's a completely different relationship. And, you know, in a personal relationship, the qualities that we look for, it requires you to be very cooperative, flexible, emotionally available, honest, committed through sickness and health. So it's very, very different qualities that I'm really excited about tonight's seminar, and I do aim to enlighten everyone and create many to assist in creating opportunities to find true love very fast.
Absolutely. Well, look, with a hit rate of 92%, I think you've got a wealth of information that you're going to be sharing with us today. So without a further ado, let me just get through a couple of housekeeping points, and then we will crack on some of the top questions that you've been asked today. So just before we get Samantha answering your questions, I just want you to do three easy things for me now. Firstly, please make sure you've printed off the note sheet for this call, which you'll find halfway down on the confirmation page and also email that I've sent through. So if you're sitting at your computer now and you haven't printed it off, you can go to asksamanthajane.com/askthanks.html, or check out the email that I would have sent you earlier on confirming tonight's call. And I want everybody to get their notes in front of them right now. Doesn't matter whether you sit down or stand up to listen to this call, just as long as you can take notes, because we're going to be answering lots of key questions tonight and you're going to want to take notes. This is absolutely a content-rich teleseminar. There's no sale here. We are interviewing Samantha to give you lots of valuable content. And remember, the palest of ink is better than a photographic memory. So make sure you have the note sheet and pen at the ready so you can take lots of valuable notes. Secondly, as Samantha starts revealing some of her top tips this evening, I want you to think about how you can quickly implement the strategies that she's revealing. And what you know isn't worth knowing if you don't take action on it. So finally, I want you to make a deadline to implement at least three of the tips that Samantha reveals, because that's how you're going to get the most out of this teleseminar. By committing to taking action on the strategies that you're about to learn will really help accelerate your success in having great first dates. Finally, I just want to give you some context around how this teleseminar came to be. What's about to happen didn't just come from Samantha's mind. This came from the collective minds of everybody on the teleseminar tonight and those that are going to listen to the replay. And thanks to a methodology that's over 2,600 years old and courtesy of Socrates, we asked you a very important question. And that question reads, what's your single most important question on how to create a great first date, even though you might be nervous, anxious, or even a little bit judgmental? And we got a huge list of questions in response to that webpage. So we're going to cover the top questions this evening. And those are, firstly, what should I say on a first date? Secondly, how do I deal with nerves on a first date? Number three, who pays for the first date? And fourthly, dating makes me nervous, so I tend to become a bit competitive with our conversation, and I usually scare the second date off. What should I focus on so I don't do that? So four brilliant questions, and I've had a bit of an insight to some of the information that Samantha's going to give you this evening, so I know that we're in for a treat. So without further ado, Sam, let's crack on to the first question. And the first question for you tonight is, what should I say on a first date?
I'll say, I'm so glad you asked this question. The reality is, what you say on your first date is really going to break or make your dating cycle with this person. So it's really important to be lighthearted on a first date, focus on the positive and look forward and never, ever look back. Mm-hmm. Looking back into a person's past, trading war stories about previous relationships, previous dates, previous lovers, divorce, children, and too much focus on business is really ugly stuff in a first date. And it's, you can hardly expect any organic chemistry to develop, let alone your date eventuate to a second. So after meeting your date, you'll both feel as though it was hard work rather than getting to know that person and having fun, being lighthearted. You know, and both men and women are very guilty of this. So not everyone, but it does happen quite often. Women will often, I've noticed, will screen men, and it's come through all the time, asking them how many women they've dated and when and why they ended their last relationship or divorce. And you have to remember, it's not a counselling session, and it's quite funny, men are very black and white, and they would tell it as it is. And like I said before, you'll walk away frustrated thinking about the baggage. And, you know, it's also important to hear the men to take control and bring the conversation back and playfully say, break the cycle. And, you know, I'm here to get to know you, so tell me more about you. Let's stay positive. I want to hear about, for example, your last amazing holiday. Where did you go? And take the focus back onto a positive, fresh start, because that's what you really want, is a fresh start with that person. And focus on
this. Sorry, I was going to say, it's really key to keep positive. If you keep that mentality and avoid those kind of more negative topics that you think you could talk about, you're probably going to be on a really good track, aren't you?
Absolutely. And just remember, first date, everyone is nervous. And it's, just let that person be who they are, as you would hope that they would expect, just not have too many expectations of yourself. And, you know, we all have a past, and it really is what makes us unique and special. So it's really important to stay positive and in control of the conversation. Even things like anything negative is best to be avoided. So I'm looking at all the things that we should avoid first, and then we'll end with a positive. So anything like the bad food at the restaurant, if it's too noisy, or the hectic traffic, and all the big day you had at work, or anything like that, it's really important to perhaps keep that to yourself or your friends, and just stay really positive and upbeat with that person. Otherwise, you have to remember, they don't know you, and you don't want to seem whingy. And definitely one of the biggest no-nos is never to talk about a bad dating experience or blame another person. It will seriously work against you. You may think, oh, but it makes me sound as though I'm dateable, and they will know that you're very dateable. But it could really, you know, talking about a bad dating experience works against you and makes you appear as though you're not sought after, and it is, you know, exactly what someone else has discarded or moved forward from it. And it's happened to all of us. So it will leave your date running for the hills. Us humans, we love a challenge, and particularly men love dating someone who is sought after, and it makes a person feel more attractive than dating someone that someone else didn't want. So when you really think about it, it makes sense. It's like shares. The ones you can't get into is the ones that everyone wants. So,
and it's a bit like the snowball effect. It's like you start one of those negative conversations or a tricky conversation, and it can be a little bit hard to get yourself out of. And before you know it, you've spent, you know, 10, 15 minutes talking about a really bad relationship or how you're glad you're not with that person anymore, and you don't know how to change the subject, and you're in too deep.
Oh, that's right. And it's something that keeps to your friends. And, you know, there's another big blunder, back to the blunders, both men and women are very guilty of. And showing your date that you can talk underwater is also, it's often frowned upon. So it just sounds like you're selling yourself and not being natural. It may be nerves, but you know, one of the most fascinating people at the same time is to talk is yourself. So, you know, when it comes to sharing information about you and the other person, let your date shine. It's actually really positive that they are actually talking more than you, because it allows them to share their greatest experience and moments, and it's a great way to break the ice for you and also get to know that person and realize, are they for me? Do they have similar interests? And just have fun with it and laugh. And on the other hand, if you're on that receiving end and you're feeling as though it's time for you to have your say, as rather than being judgmental and turning off, use it as an opportunity to break the ice and say, wow, you're a really fascinating person. Thank you for sharing this with me. I'd love to share a few things of my adventures and stories with you, and may I? And sort of keep it lighthearted, and then they'll realize that, oh, perhaps they were jittering away. And, underneath there could be a fabulously amazing person, but just weren't sure of how to keep that conversation flowing.
Absolutely. You're spot on, because people love talking about themselves, and it's one of the best ways to build rapport by asking questions and letting them talk. But also on the flip of that, most people are really poor listeners. So, you know, if we think if we're really honest with ourselves, we're often just waiting for our chance to talk rather than focusing on what that other person's saying. So, you know, by keeping quiet and then only asking questions when the other person's finished talking, it's a really good way to build rapport. But it can be tricky, especially when you're nervous and you're thinking, what am I going to say next? What am I going to say next? So it's best to kind of try and take that pressure off and ask questions, because it gives you a bit of breathing space and it really helps build rapport. And that's for any situation, not just a date.
That's right. And look, if you're really stuck, I always believe in having 5 questions under your belt. And, you know, you can ask those questions again and again. But it's really, I'll go through those towards the end of what I'm about to say. And they're really, really helpful in breaking that ice and keeping the conversation flowing organically. So really, the first date is just about getting to know your date and determining whether you have common ground, interests, values. Don't have major expectations of firecrackers and blissful moments and followed by infatuation. Sure, it can happen, and it happens a lot in the movies. And on the first date, you may walk away thinking this person is absolutely for me. But often you'll find an attraction is something that develops over time, and more realistically, after your first date, you'll walk away with a nice feeling about the person, and you felt that they were really pleasant and intriguing and certainly wouldn't mind getting to know them a little further, even if you don't see yourself walking down the aisle. But, you know, stranger things have happened. I have so many stories to tell. Like the moment, well, a friend of mine, she actually met someone on a blind date, and she thought, wow, this guy is really nice, but no physical attraction, definitely not for me. And 3 years later, they're blissfully happy. And another moment, it happens all the time. Danielle, a member of us, came back saying that she can't stand, his name was Matt, he had a terrible voice and he was too short and didn't find him attractive at all. And 8 months later, they were married, and which was quite fast moving, but she's never been happier. She loves the adventure he brings into her life, finds him incredibly sexy. And one of my favourite members was when she said, Karen said, no, I would never date an older man, and he has to have hair and no children, live in the eastern suburbs within 5 kilometres of me, and now she's blissfully happy with a man 10 years older with 4 children, and he lives, wait for it, in the country. So it can happen.
A new matchmaker, brilliant.
Yes, and it's quite funny, Karen, I spoke about, she said, never say never, that's my motto in life, and she said, I can't believe it, but thank you so much, you've opened up my mind. And, you know, ultimately, you'll achieve happiness. It's just all about being open-minded. And some of the great questions to ask, and they may seem a bit strange, is tell me about your first kiss. And you think, wow, that's a little detailed, but it's often quite, it's very innocent, and it breaks the ice, and everyone finds it quite a funny story, and it's very pleasant, so it's not going to hit any nerves. And another
it's kind of a little bit of a flirty question, isn't it? But it, as you say, it breaks down the nerves and you couldn't help but smile or laugh if you got asked that question.
Oh, absolutely. It was quite funny. We were hosting a speed dating event a few months ago. We don't host a lot of them, but occasionally we do. And everyone had their arms crossed and they're looking at each other and there was so much tension. We looked at all these ways and strategies of breaking the ice and nobody would break the ice. So I said, okay, I want you all to find out about each other's first kiss. And everyone just practically blushed and looked at each other and giggled. And after that question, everything just happened so naturally and organically. And they realized, oh, we're all people. So we're just in this room doing the same thing. And all the inhibitions were gone.
That's brilliant. I hope everyone's got their pen and paper at the ready and writing these questions down, because that is a really good one to break the ice. You've got any more?
Absolutely. And I want you to watch your date's face when you ask them that question.
Yeah.
Another one is, like, if you're a movie star, who would you play in what movie, whether it's Superman or Batman or Girls, Marilyn Monroe? You know, tell me about your favourite city in the world and why is it your favourite. You'll get to know a lot about the person, whether they're a city slicker or whether they love the country. And, you know, if you had all the power in the world, what would you do with it? And they're quite powerful questions, these ones, and they're very thought-provoking. So another one that's my favourite is the deserted island question. If you were on an island, where would you go and who would you take with? What would you take with you if you could only take three things? And I have another list of a series of questions. So if you want any further questions, feel free to go to the website or send me a direct email and I can send those off to you.
Brilliant. They're great. So you got, it's like building up a toolkit for the first date, isn't it?
That's right. Just talking, just relax, have fun.
Talk and relax and enjoy it and go with your toolkit of questions. Okay, so this is the next question, question number two. And this was, you know, we got this question phrased differently by so many people, but it was on the same topic. How do I deal with nerves on a first date? And I wish I had been on this call before I'd met my other half and was listening to you, Samantha, because this is a biggie for most people. So how should we deal with nerves on a first date?
I love this question. It's very popular and most people don't like to admit it. But look, we all experience those little anxieties, butterflies in our tummies, elevated heart rates. It's actually a part of chemistry and it's actually really exciting, and that's what makes us quite attractive to the person, to bring that little bit of positive nerves. So look, take courage and really believe that, look, each date is bringing you closer to finding your ideal partner, and the person that's sitting right opposite you is just as anxious. And often if you just have a giggle about it, don't reveal too much of your nerves, but just know that they're probably feeling the same way. So, you know, okay, how do you reduce first date nerves and allow for free-flowing conversation? Well, firstly, understand where your nerves are coming from. They're not coming from your belly. They're coming from your mind. And look, placing too much pressure on ourselves can result in an overactive brain. If you get fixated with trying to be perfect, you'll forget to relax and just enjoy yourself. So aim to make a good impression, but just don't expect to be perfect. The expectations we also place on another person contribute to our nerves. So some of the expectations can be rather realistic, and we want our ideal match to be our soul, the ideal, you know, match to be our soulmate. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But one of the biggest hurdles is we expect the other person to be something that we've actually built up in our minds. So that actually can inhibit the dating process. And instead, it's better just like give that person a chance to show you how great they really are, even if they're not exactly what you've expected. So it's certainly not about lowering your standards or settling for less, but it's about not expecting someone to be what you think your perfect date should be. And, you know, take a deep breath, relax, go into your first date expecting nothing more than just to have a really good time and get to know someone better. You're more likely to relax and not only make the dating easier for you, but also have a better opportunity at finding love without forcing it.
That's such brilliant advice, because in so many of the scenarios that I deal with, and not just with people talking about relationships, fortunately one of the biggest things that can hold us back is our own mind and how, you know, we can generalize and distort and delete information in our mind based on experiences that we've had previously. And it's really important to recognize when you're meeting someone for the first time that you need to try and do something to suspend all of those prejudgments. Because otherwise you know, I always say to my clients, what you focus on is what you get. And if you're expecting, because somebody turns up and they're shorter than you had anticipated and they've got dark hair instead of blonde, and you relate that back to a bad experience, you will be judgmental even if you don't realize you are, and that will probably sabotage the date. And I think, you know, you've probably dealt with that a few times before, haven't you, Sam, in terms of, prejudgments being an issue on how successful a first date is.
Absolutely, and look, I'm almost guilty of it, but I've persisted and I'm very happy now. So, yeah, I hear that story quite a lot. The next step is to plan. Planning is the key to a successful first date. And think about, you plan so much in life. It's all about getting ready for work and you have meetings all day. So why not just plan the date? Keep it simple, be really relaxed, find out what your date is interested in, find out some of their hobbies, their favourite foods, and minor details. So imagine going to a steakhouse only to find out your date is vegetarian, and these things have happened. So also dare to be different. Why not try the zoo for a first day? I mean, it breaks the ice and it will place the focus on the animals without having too much anticipation and direction towards you too, and it'll have a really good impact. Or a picnic, or overlooking a great sunset, or visit a museum or art gallery, or try a boat trip to an island. And there's so many great little fairies that you can catch everywhere. Or a theme park, just, it's so old fashioned, but it could be fun. And or even a sporting match. But just tend to avoid overcrowded bars and overcrowded restaurants and the movies, because you really want to have that first date as an opportunity to get to know that person and focus on, the activity rather than the expectation. And you are seriously destined to have fun and smile. So, and really concentrate on your strengths. Write down a list of why you are so fabulous and what makes you so unique. So, is it your eyes? Is it your wicked sense of humour? Is it your intelligence? Your great level of fitness? Excellent listening skills? Travel experience? You can never really tell what likes you have a person drawn to you. So just focus on your strengths and, just think of the feeling you had when someone gave you a compliment and learn to be your own best friend and radiate that confidence. So just before your date, remember the compliments that you have received, and that'll make you go in feeling quite pumped. So dating is just as much, it's really just about finding out who you are and having fun and really finding out what makes you tick, so and enjoying the journey.
That's great advice. And, I love what you said about concentrate on your strengths and think about what they are, because if you don't know what your own strengths are, how can you expect someone else to recognise them? So it's really good to go in thinking about, what's great or what's fabulous about me, so that it helps your confidence as well. And I love your creative ideas on first dates, because I think my first dates have only ever been in a bar or in a restaurant, and that whole list that you just gave us would have been far more creative and exciting. So I hope there are lots of people going to be going out on dates over the next week or so following this, going to some really cool creative places and ditching the bars and restaurants. Okay, great advice. Let's crack on. Sorry.
Great.
Question number three. I love this one. I'm glad you're answering this, because I don't know. Number three is, who pays for a first date? Is it okay to suggest to pay for half the bill? Some guys may take it as seeming disinterested. How do guys feel about this? So basically, who pays for the first date?
Well, the date can be progressing on beautifully until it comes time for the bill, and then everyone starts to sweat. look, okay, the moment of the bill, to me, let it happen organically. Traditionally, most men like to take the upper hand and pay the bill. However, everyone is different, and you must respect that. To the men listening tonight, I do recommend that it is a nice gesture to pay for the first date. It really leaves a good impression. Mm-hmm. And to the women, don't expect it, but do offer. And if he insists, thank him for it. And next time, offer to pay for dessert or a drink elsewhere. The old-fashioned way is still very romantic, but just never expect it. Or if you're at dinner, have dinner and perhaps suggest another place for dessert. I would allow a man to pay, but at the same time, think about it during your meal. I mean, don't go too extravagant. Don't order the $35 glass of wine and the most expensive meal. And just always consider your date and keep it fairly equal, but it's always nice for the man to pay if that's within your value.
That's a tricky one.
But, it tends to happen that way, but it is a little tricky. So don't have any major expectations and really don't make judgment of it either way. And it's just don't make a big deal of it and have fun, really.
I think that's the key, don't make a big deal of it. I can think back to, I'm someone, I hate other people paying for me. My friends buy me a drink or somebody buy me dinner, it doesn't matter. And I think back to some of the dreadful first dates I've had, and I've probably been way too overpowering when it comes to the bill coming through, and I'm embarrassed because I actually don't want the guy to pay for it. So I'm grabbing the bill I've waited till he's gone to the bathroom, and then I've paid with my credit, I put the credit card behind the bar so that he can't pay, and I look back now and it was just a disaster waiting to happen. So I think it's finding a happy balance, isn't it, rather than either side being too overbearing.
That's right. And just, you'll know as the date progresses. And most men, they can actually take offence if you are too overpowering. So
yes.
It's important just to respect your values and just understand, okay, well, this is, I mean, most men, I do find that they certainly do like to take that control.
Yeah, I think good advice there.
Okay,
now the fourth question, I actually missed one out before. We've got five questions this evening. The fourth question is, what traits of a man are women most attracted to? The golden question.
It's a great question. Mm-hmm. I love tonight's questions. I think they're fabulous. Mm. Okay, so let's look at what women want in a man. Now, you know, there really is a gender confusion that's currently happening, and it can be really confusing for men to know what women want, and I highly recognise that. So I'd like to share with you some steps and strategies to make the dating game easier and make you stand out from the crowd. So recently, I don't know, you know, if anyone read this, but there was a survey that Cosmo did, and I actually heard Kate Ritchie on the radio station one early morning on my way to work, questioning the survey's results in disbelief, running her own poll of surveys, answers, sorry, only to discover the survey was in fact correct. Now, the results of the surveys indicated that a high percentage of women would choose a fabulous love life and true intimacy with a good man over a man with millions and not much emotional availability. This, in fact, is really true, and I see it every day. So in the olden days, women needed a man to survive. They needed a man for a roof over their head. They needed money. They needed, you know, men to have a family. It was really a case of existence and survival. And now in the modern world, women no longer need a man to survive. They can have their own money and even have their own babies thanks to IVF today. But what women did look for is a man to complement their life and for true companionship. I mean, we all love to have hugs. You know, in detail, I would say the number one request is a man with confidence. So a man that can start a conversation and interact with a spark of interest, you know, someone that is really engaging and knows what he wants out of life. So if you're looking at ways to how to improve your confidence, there are a few steps you could take so you can just educate yourself. And if you don't feel that confidence, fake it till you make it. You will eventually feel that way. Read the news, be worldly. Travel can expand your confidence. Just believe in yourself and get out there and get a stylish haircut. See a stylist or make friends with a shop assistant. So keep your threads up to date. You know, what women want you to, like, what they find confident is your interaction with them. It makes, you know, something that's fun and interesting and flirty and humorous and makes them feel sexually, that's what makes them feel very sexually attracted to you. So, you know, avoid being too friendly and coming across as the nice guy. So it's important to value and respect women, but not to be coming across about talking about boring things like the weather or computer technology, the internet, too much sport, too much serious stuff, always, you know, showing too much interest within her every second, not giving her that space, and talking about work too much. So instead, be really, you know, be flirty and make a woman feel that chemistry and that sexual attraction to you. So keep a little mystery there and make her wonder, is he really that into me? She's busy and give her time to miss you. So don't call her every second and hound her.
So true. I love what you said about fake it till you make it, because one of the things I say to my clients is act as if. And it's a really powerful strategy. If you're dealing with something like, let's say, a lack of confidence, it's really good to put yourself in the position of imagining that you are as confident as, or imagining what that confidence feels like, how you want to really, really be, and imagine how you would be acting as if you were that confident. And what it does is change the neurological pathways in your brain, and it helps you come up with more creative ways to act as if you are that confident. So that is a brilliant strategy, and I can't recommend that enough in anything that you're doing. But to act as if you're confident and having a great time and feeling that you've got all the attributes you want on a great first date will put you in a really good starting position.
It really does. And I remember as a child, I was terribly shy. No one, as a child, if somebody asked me my name, it was my biggest fear. It's, please don't talk to me. And then all of a sudden my parents, we relocated. And I thought, gosh, I can't be this shy or I won't have any friends. So then I became this extrovert. And really, I was always blushing. So deep down, I was this shy person. But now today, I have this confidence, and that's happened to so many people, and you can really use it within the dating game. It makes such a big difference, and people love confident people.
Absolutely. It's a very attractive quality.
Brilliant. Another thing that they love is a man with purpose. So a man who has respect for himself, knows what he wants, and is really, really focused. Women love responsible men. So a man that is financially intelligent, combined with the bigger picture of being emotionally available, and makes her feel really taken care of. So a man with a good sense of personal and social and business mastery, kindness is also received as irresistible. They love a strong man, but with a big heart. A family man is a big, is highly in demand. So a man with a good relationship with his family and someone that likes kids and is good with kids is always a big bonus, something that women find really appealing. Women love a man that takes pride in his appearance, particularly smell. Smell is a big aphrodisiac. So really make sure that you are smelling with the latest fragrances and always have that clean hair. Also, someone that has an interest in looking after himself, doesn't smoke excessively or drink excessively, and is not a guy that's out there always in the pub. It's something that she'll rather run away from.
Yeah.
Women love loyal and caring men. One of the most important things that women just adore is a man that is non-flirtatious with other people. So that makes her feel as though she is the most special person in the world. So, you know, men, you must remember, women share anything with anyone, but they'll never share your love with anyone. So if you're the flirting type, women will often move forward no matter how deeply she loves you. And she'll look for that person who's completely makes her feel amazing and really, really special.
Definitely.
So Can you relate to that, Faye?
Yes.
Yes.
Say no more.
Can we relate to that? Yeah, good.
Absolutely. Can relate to almost everything you're saying today, in fact.
Good. I really hope I've been helpful. So, you know, women are really creatures that desire only for love and respect for a man. So often some women, you know, they do crave for financial security, but it's not all the same. They love to be in love, and they love the whole package. So what triggers the female emotions for a specific man? You think about women decide, you know, they look for a man and they analyze whether he'd be great for a long-term relationship. So if you can think of even five of the traits and really focus on it, so it's confidence, family values, really respecting women, having that direction in life, and taking care of yourself. If you develop these traits, you'll be highly sought after.
Absolutely brilliant advice, and first-hand advice from all of the people that you meet and the successes that, you know, the successful matches that you've put together. This isn't just stuff you love talking about. It's proven, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
92% success rate. I'm listening to you. Okay. Question number five. This is our last question for today. This is a great question. Dating makes me nervous, so I tend to become a bit competitive with our conversation. I never usually get a second date. What should I focus on so I don't scare him off?
This happens so often. I often hear women say, well, men are really intimidated by me. And it's something that it's really important to actually take responsibility and understand that, is there a reason that you are being intimidating, and how can you soften your approach and get away from that whole utilizing this as your job and realizing that your relationship with this person is completely different. So there's absolutely no need to compete. And, you know, the key answer to the question is men, I mention this all the time and time again, and it's something that's not mine, it's from Dr. Phil, and it's really men want to find out what it is you need and give it to you. And you have to just think about that question and think, okay, now, if you're being overly competitive, he actually feels that, you know, it leaves him with absolutely no desire for him to find, you know, what is it that you require for him? And he thinks, well, absolutely nothing. She's fine without me. And so, therefore, he doesn't feel needed. And everyone loves to feel needed. So the best gift you could do is actually soften up. And remember, it's not a job interview. This is not someone you're going to compete with. Men love women who are feminine, caring, compassionate, nurturing. And remember the qualities that I spoke about initially. Not being competitive, loving, you know, sharing, being kind and honest and committed and emotionally available and cooperative, and not looking at what you can get out of this, but looking at what you can give. And by doing that, you will take away that competitiveness and show him that you're vulnerable. And that is one of the most attractive qualities that you could actually show a person, that you have this success and you have the strength. But at the same time, you're just a human being, and, you know, what he could give to, you know, you could nurture him and what he could give you so much in return. So it's quite, you know, it happens so often. So men really love women, feminine, caring, compassionate, nurturing, just like, in some ways, like their mothers. So, you know,
I think love is vulnerability, though. It's just it's a very attractive quality, but all too often we generalize and think that vulnerability is a weakness. So we don't want to look vulnerable. We want to look capable of everything, and that's where that kind of competitive streak kicks in, you know. And I think everyday life can feel like a competition that's at times. You know, if you think about the things you do every day, aside from dating at the moment, but, you know, you're racing to get a parking spot, you're chasing promotion, you're trying to beat your competitors in business, and that competitive streak can really filter into your relationships. And before you know it, you're competing in conversations with people about who's done what and, you know, trying to top the other person's story. So I think if you find that you're getting to that point and getting a tad competitive in a conversation, it's good to just stop for a moment, focus on what the other person's saying and graciously listen to them and try and take yourself out of that feeling that it's a bit of a rat race. And vulnerability is absolutely fine. In fact, it's a very good quality.
Absolutely. And when you, like, I get to know some incredibly amazing people and some incredibly powerful people, and they have these amazing careers and they're very intense, and some people are saving people's lives all the time. And and then when it comes to a personal relationship, they don't always know how to switch off, and they still become competitive and very strong. And at the end of the day, it's when they actually open up and soften up is when you realize, wow, you are just a beautiful person from within, and it's okay, and it's really okay to be vulnerable. So it's something that it gives your man that opportunity to be a man and make, you know, take care of you and allow you to nurture him, because there will be times where he needs that too. And rather than having fist fights, you know, you can grow together.
Definitely. Because it kind of goes back to learned behaviour, doesn't it? I suppose, you know, we spend more time in our jobs and our careers than we do on first dates, hopefully. So, you know, if you have this learned behaviour where you're this really strong, capable person that's in control of everything, and what can happen is you can tend to take those traits and behaviours over to a first date or certainly the early stages of a relationship. And it's really important to differentiate, as you said before, between your relationships and your career, because you need to approach them very, very differently. So if you recognise that you may have that tendency to apply the same behaviour to different scenarios in your life, then it needs to be tweaked. So you've given us some great strategies to do that today. Brilliant.
That's right. And so really just focus also on some of the tips that we've discussed at first, during that first question, and don't be scary. That's one of my biggest advice, is just think about how you're sounding to that person, and would you go out with you again?
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Oh, we've run out of time again, because that was unfortunately the last question we've got time to answer. But for everybody on the line, I trust you've got a lot of value from the tips Samantha's given us all today. Now, as I mentioned at the start, Samantha has a bonus gift for all of our listeners today who aren't currently clients of Blue Label Life. And that bonus gift is a $150 voucher that you can redeem against any Blue Label Life membership package. So all you need to do is email Samantha by 5 o'clock this Friday. And for the purposes of this recording, that's Friday the 27th of February. And you can email Samantha at email Samantha, and her address is samantha@bluelabellife.com. That's samantha@bluelabellife.com. And as long as you contact her by 5 o'clock this Friday, you will receive a $150 voucher to redeem against any of the Blue Label Life membership packages. And in addition to that fabulous cash bonus, you're also going to receive the recording of this call from me in the next couple of days. So keep your eye out for your emails. That's so that you can listen to Samantha's tips and secrets over and over again and write even more notes. And definitely get those questions down for your dating toolkit, because they are key. And if you're not already a subscriber, I really strongly suggest you sign up for Samantha's monthly newsletter. And you'll get even more dating tips. So go to bluelabellife.com.au/newsletter.php and you can subscribe to her free monthly newsletter there. So it's certainly been my pleasure to host this call today. And Sam, I want to say a massive thank you for giving up your time to share with us all your valuable tips and strategies. It's been a great evening, and you've packed a huge amount into close to an hour. So thank you so much. Is there anything that you would like to add before we go?
I just really want my message for tonight is just don't limit yourself to the people who you think are your type. Screening too much in the beginning and you'll diminish your opportunities. So get out there and start having fun and let Cupid strike your bow.
I love it. Having fun, that's the key. When it becomes a chore, you've got to stop and reassess, because dating should be fun.
That's right. Take some time out and reassess. Have a break.
Exactly. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, from Samantha, Jane and I, thank you so much for letting us into your homes and offices tonight. My name's Faye Holland from OutshineConsulting.com, and I truly hope our paths cross again soon. But until that happens, have a fabulous evening, and thank you once again for listening. Bye-bye. Bye, Sam.
Bye, Faye. Bye, everyone. Bye.